I remember you telling me a story once where you first really got involved in computers in high school, or was this before?
Well, actually, my whole technical evolution was very much accidents. It was not planned by myself. There were no classes. There were no books. It was all accidental. I would stumble into journals. I'd stumble into magazines. And I found that was what my interest was. You know what your interest is, and
right,
not everyone comes up with the same, and it's accidentally inspired maybe by the fun I had with my electronics friends in the neighborhood. And in high school, I had other accidents. I was also on a path to learn what a computer was, and I was too shy to ask people, what is a computer, to look it up in books. So I kept learning more and more by doing my own projects and seeing others at science fairs.
Right.
Well, in high school, a lucky thing happened. I was one of the math science stars of the school and would get the awards and all that, but I was also in electronics class. We had a great electronics class in our high school, and the teacher realized that I knew it all, and I was just playing pranks and wiring other people's radios to blow up if they asked me for help. Well, I loved it. One time, my lab partner asked me to write a report on crystals for him. So I wrote a really good report right out of the book, and then I wrote a second report that was total farce, that was on every kind of crystal that's not electronic, like watch crystals and, you know, crystals in geodes and that sort of thing. And I showed him the good one, and I said, I'll put it on the teacher's desk for you. And I put the bad one on.
That's terrible.
So the teacher said, you're going to get in pranks. So he arranged for something. This is very unusual when a teacher sees a student that could be helped with a lot of stuff that's not in the school. A lot of teachers will say, the education is here in this school and these books and my class, and that's all we take responsibility for.
Yeah, they hold
for.
You this to teacher, the four corners.
This teacher went beyond, and he arranged for me to go down to a company in Silicon Valley and program computer once a week.
What company was that?
It was Sylvania in Sunnyvale.
Okay, okay.
And I went down. This engineer showed me this computer and manuals, and I took a Fortran manual and learned the language of Fortran and wrote some programs, had some interesting programs. Well, while I was down there one day, I saw a book called The Small Computer Handbook. And remember, I was on a search. I didn't know exactly what a computer really was, but by then, I sure knew logic gates. I knew how to build adders and subtractors and win science fair projects. I even got the award for the best electronics project in the Bay Area Science Fair when I was in eighth grade, and it covered up through 12th graders. So I was really advanced that way. Okay, I saw a book called The Small Computer Handbook, and I went crazy because I knew computers were going to be my life interest. I didn't think I'd ever have a job in them. I didn't think there were jobs in computers. I thought that once I became an engineer, told my dad in sixth grade I'd be an engineer like him first, a fifth grade teacher second. Well, I thought an engineer would design missiles or radios or televisions, things with dials. I didn't think that computers was a job I'd ever have, but I was in love with them. So I took this book home.
Okay.
And then I looked, and it described a computer like architecture, like describing a house, how many rooms it has, how many cabinets, and where the doors are to walk through. Then I took my list of parts, which are like lumber, but they were called chips. And I started designing on paper, drawing the diagrams of how the chips could hook together to make this thing called a computer. A PDP-8 was the name of the computer that was in my manual.
Yes.
Well, I got into this habit of every computer, there were about 20 of these things called mini computers being introduced in the late 60s. They all looked like big square rectangular boxes, very cold. They'd sit on a factory floor in a rack, and they had switches and lights and push buttons,
and
nobody
quite
would
large.
Go, you'd never go near them because you'd never know what to do with one of these things. They were for some very strange computer people, and they were intimidating, but there were a ton of them that came out in the late 60s. Well, what I would do is drive up with a friend of mine, Alan Baum, up to Stanford Linear Accelerator Center.
Okay.
And the reason we'd go there on a Sunday. And the reason we'd go there is there's a lot of smart people that work at Stanford Linear Accelerator Center. And wherever smart people work, there's open doors. So we would actually drive to the main building, and we'd walk up some stairs and try some doors. And eventually we'd find a door open from the outside, and we'd go in, and they had a computer, a library in there, a technical library. I found computer manuals, and there were little cards. You could fill out your name and address, and they would send you a computer manual. So Varian sent me manuals to their computers. We're way back before personal computers. Hewlett Packard would send me manuals to their computers. Digital Equipment would send me theirs. A company started up called Data General. And they
all you have to do is fill out this card.
Fill out the cards, and you know, we'll send you a manual describing our computer. Because if to get this magazine back in those days, you were probably an engineer. You are the sort of person who might buy our expensive computers. And I would sit down at home whenever I had free weekend. I would sit down and pull out blank paper and just start designing that computer. And if I had already designed that computer, I would design it again using the latest, newest chips. My dad would get me the chip manuals of the newest, latest chips, and I would design it with fewer parts as a goal. I started making a game out of this. And the game was, how few of chips can I do it in? And I started coming up with tricks in my head as a young high school kid that I knew that nobody else in the world was doing with chips. I would figure out to use, well, my gosh, if you need an inverter, why add a whole chip with inverters? I have a spare register left over on another chip, and a register actually can be used as an inverter. So I would use parts not for what they were intended, but they did the job I needed to design my circuit with the fewest parts. And so it became such an interest, it became more and more challenging. I had a real competition every weekend with myself. How can I do a better job yet? And then by the end of high school, I knew I was very good because my designs were like half as many chips as the companies were using that were making these.
And how many years were you doing this in high school? You usually go to high school for 3
Actually,
years.
It was only my last year of high school, my senior year of high school, and pretty much my first year of college, I was doing the same thing. And it was just, it was so fun. But, you know, when you're competing against yourself, there's no limit that stops you. You don't ever get a grade. Also, you know, you don't get any rewards that people can see. Nobody in the school knew I was doing this.
How about friends?
I didn't have any friends except for one, that Alan Baum guy. He knew the computers, too. And we shared a lot over the years. Matter of fact, almost everything major I did in my life, everything important, including Hewlett-Packard calculators and Apple computers, he had a good bit of a fingerprint in. So one friend, no teachers, not even my parents knew I was doing this. I didn't share it with anyone. I'd go in my room, close the door, and do it quietly. I did not get a grade for it because everyone would see my grade. I didn't get some fancy clothes that people could see. I didn't get a fancy title. I didn't get awards from the school. I didn't get a yacht.
It was all about self-satisfaction. How about your dad? Didn't you share it with your dad since he was an engineer?
You know what? I told my dad that I was designing these computers, but you see, he was not really a computer designer. And I'm not sure that he knew that what I was designing was real and complete and would work. Or I never really showed him any one of my designs. Look, here's these gates and these registers that do that. And he designed a different kind of circuitry, an analog, and I was doing digital.